happy to bring in Chris Landry, LandryFootballReport.com. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We know Ezekiel Elliott's going to be on the field Sunday night. We don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be on the field Sunday night. How will his absence impact the New York Giants offense?
Well, you certainly can't take him out and not have it affect you. They've got other weapons, but he is a special weapon. There's no doubt that if they don't have him, it hurts them. I think the real key is going to be their running game, their protection up front, to give Eli time. There's still ways that they can be effective at the passing game, but Odell's certainly a special player for their offense and gets them out of a lot of jams on third downs and in the red zone.
Landry, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, I am doing fantastic. Well, to start all of this off, Thursday, September 7th, the Chiefs at the Patriots. Chiefs no Ware, Patriots no Edelman. Which one of those guys do you think each team will miss the most?
Probably Ware with the Chiefs, although the Chiefs under Andy Reid always finds a way to run the football. I think they will overcome it. The Patriots have going in a little different direction, adding first they've got Hogan and mm-hmm. they've got Cooks on the outside, but Hogan it can certainly help there. And the acquisition of Philip Dorsett's going to be interesting because they'll play him in the slot, and he's got a vertical element to his game. I think both will overcome it, but we know that they're special players, and the rapport that Brady had with Edelman can't be minimized at all, and certainly it they'll see some effect. But this New England team is really good. Kansas City's also good. It should be a really good matchup. But New England, I think the storyline going into the season is, can anybody beat them? And I'm not talking about on any given week, because I would suspect they'll lose a game or two. But can anybody dethrone them? Or if they have some bad luck and a lot of injuries, will that bring them back to the pack? That's going to be, I think, the big storyline of the season.
Yeah, so barring injury, Chris, how big is that gap? Because I agree with you, somebody could beat them any weekend, but if we're really looking at great teams and the Patriots without injuries, is there a large gap between them and whoever number two might be?
I think it's the biggest than any other time of the five Super Bowls that they've won. It's a bigger gap than any that they've had. I think every one of those Super Bowls were with teams where there was a closer gap between them and the teams going into the season. Now, in November, it may look a little differently. And if they have some injuries, they lose home field advantage to the Steelers, for example, then we have a different conversation then. But I think, to answer your question, it's significant. I think it really is.
Chris Landry, the LandryFootballReport.com, here with us. How hot of a take, Chris, would it be if I said the Chiefs might get the Patriots tomorrow night?
Well, listen, Andy Reid, along with Mike Shanahan, are the two guys that have given Bill Belichick the most trouble in terms of attacking his defense. Kansas City's a good team. I expect them to play well. And no, it wouldn't shock me at all. It would surprise me a little. I think New England is really right now loaded and going to be very well prepared at home. I think they probably win it. And the more the game approaches, I kind of sense. I put up a complete film room scouting report up on the website, and I think I picked the Patriots by 10, and I'm not so sure that it might not be a little bit more. I think they eventually pull away, but no, it wouldn't surprise me. This is a really good Kansas City team. That's why they put this matchup in the first game.
Well, Chris, we know the absolute best matchup of week one is my Seahawks and the Packers, of course. But since we have a Cowboy fan here and Grant, he loves the Giants, looking at that matchup, Giants, Cowboys, you got all the stuff going on with Ezekiel. Don't know mm-hmm. if Odell is going to play. The Giants pretty much have owned the Cowboys as of late. How do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, you know, this week will be interesting. We talked about Odell. I think his absence will have an impact. Dallas at home, you like their chances to win that. But overall, I do think going into the season that the Giants are a little better, particularly defensively. And I think that's where I have concerns about Dallas going deep into the playoffs, is they're very good on offense, but defensively, they're not good enough to go that deep. Their defense statistically looked pretty good last year, but it's only because their offense kind of covered up a lot of that. So I don't know that they will be – I think they'll be effective early, but I don't think throughout the course of the season that they'll generate the type of pass rush that they need. So I look at the East as kind of kind of a two-team race between the Giants and the Cowboys, and obviously the winner. If the Giants can win on the road, then they've got a nice little leg up with a home with a game on the road in play. But it's such a long season. It's a big game. It's a head-to-head game. But, you know, it's just the start of a long marathon, obviously, for all these teams.
Chris, how about that division, though? Because that's kind of a leapfrog all the time. We just mentioned those two teams, Redskins or Eagles. Do they have a shot, a realistic shot of winning that division?
I don't think so. I think the Eagles are improved. I think if they stay healthy, they could get towards that 500 area, maybe 9-7, and maybe they stay in the race for a little bit. The Redskins, I think another pretty good team, but I see them as kind of an 8-8, 7-9 type of team. So I do see that division as very good, kind of like the NFC South, where the worst team in that division right now, whoever you think it is, and we can debate that, looks like a 7-8 win type of team. I think both of those teams are going to be fun and competitive and really balanced top to bottom.
The Landry Football Report with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, here with us on Sports 1140. Since you're in the NFC East, I'll ask you about Kirk Cousins. We've speculated this really since that franchise tender was signed. Is Kirk Cousins even playing for anything this year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you want to win, you want to compete, but in terms of just his individual future, he's certainly getting a lot of money into this year, but his contract going forward, he's playing for an awful lot. I mean,
but isn't he playing for an awful lot whether he plays good or bad?
Yeah, but if he plays poorly, he's not going to get nearly as much. I mean, he's going to break the bank probably either way, but it's going to be a lot heavier bank if he plays well. I mean, you just have to look at the contract. So, yeah, I think it's got a lot on the table. Now,
I guess I kind of took the thought, Chris, he's going to get paid whether he plays good or bad, because Washington's going to have to make the decision if they're going to franchise him a third time, which no one believes they will, because that
right.
would pay him like $35 million.
If he doesn't play well, they let him go, and he's not going to get as much in the open market if he plays well.
So but my feeling was he still might. People might look at it like, well, it's the Redskins.
I mean, he'll get a lot because the supply and demand for quarterbacks. So nobody needs to have a pity party for him. He's going to make a lot of money, but if he plays well, he's going to make a lot more money. So we're talking about a lot's at stake, but it's kind of like you won the lottery. Do you want $25 million or do you want $125 million? I mean, it's good either way, but one sounds a little better, I think you would agree, than the other.
Matt Stafford money about to become Kirk Cousins money.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And he could pale that if he plays well. Think about it. If he doesn't, well, he's probably not going to get quite that. And it really will depend on what other options. People might say, well, wait a minute, he really completely flopped this year. They'll look elsewhere. I mean, he'll still get paid. He'll still find work. But the difference in the amount of money could be drastic. So I think there's an awful lot to play for.
Chris, when you look at the Steelers right now, offensively, just an absolute juggernaut. Defensively, probably not to the level that we've seen all the Steelers teams in the past, but they would be the class over there. What do you see with them ultimately this season going in?
Clearly the best team in the north of the AFC. I think their defense is starting to put those pieces together where they can be very impactful.
Mm.
And the offense is outstanding. Obviously, elite quarterback, great receivers. I'm a little, concerned about Le'Veon Bell's health because the history of guys holding out is not real good in terms of pulling hamstrings, and he's got a background of injuries. So we'll see how that plays out. But with him and all hands on deck, that's the one team that I could see beating New England, particularly if somehow they found a way to get home field advantage. But I think, while I wouldn't say the decisive advantage in the North is as big for Pittsburgh as it is for New England in the East, but it's pretty close. I see that as kind of a no such thing as locks, but the closest thing to a lock would be those two teams winning their divisions.
Chris, we're talking about Pittsburgh there with great quarterback, Brady, great quarterback, Rodgers, all these great quarterbacks, and all these other teams are trying to find them. But if you're, Bortles or McCown or Glennon or these other teams, how do you win? I mean, I guess my question to you is, who's the best team with what you would call maybe a subpar quarterback? Because how do you win that in this league without somebody that's elite?
No, I think Jacksonville is, well, in the past it's been Houston. I mean, they've won their division.
Yeah.
And listen, Bill O'Brien's gotten 64 touchdown passes out of just a bunch of different guys. you know, that's been maybe now Jacksonville, because I think the roster is pretty good, but they are really handcuffed at the quarterback position, and I see that being a real problem. That jumps out at me. The other teams that, you know, are lacking a quarterback, just are not quite good enough at this point. And you know, you got some teams, you know, like Detroit, that I think has a good quarterback, but they're not good enough around him. You know, and I think that's part of the problem. But yeah, I think I would say that that Jacksonville would kind of fit that mold of a team that's in that category.
Landry Football Report with Chris Landry here on Sports 1140. Chris, I might be irrationally high on the Oakland Raiders this year. I think they very well may be one of the last four teams, if not one of the last two teams playing. Talk. Am I even close there, or is it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's they in Kansas City in the West, but you know, I like Kansas City's defense a little better, and I like Oakland's explosiveness on offense better. You know, obviously, awful break at the end of last year with Carr getting injured. I think this Raiders
team, no pun intended.
No, the offensive line's very good. I think the running game and short yardage and goal line situation could be improved, but where's the pass rush going to come opposite Mac? And those are, I love the young safeties, but I don't know that their defense is good enough to make that deep run. But could I see a scenario where they win the division and get into the AFC Championship? I absolutely could. And again, at that time, we'll see how things and how everybody else is shaping up injury wise, and maybe their chances are, you know, a lot stronger than I see them right now. But listen to me, I think they're a playoff team. And I think Kansas City is as well. I think both of those teams are good. I see some delineation in that division more than most people do. I do not see Denver as a, you know, anything more than maybe a one game above 500 type of team at best. Same with the Los Angeles, the Chargers. you know, the South, I see it as a two-team race unless Andrew Luck can get healthy, and he puts them in two teams being Tennessee and Houston. And we've already talked about the North and the East, where I think it's very strong for New England and Pittsburgh. So to me, there's going to be some surprises. Somebody is going to end up being in there and being a lot better than I think, and somebody that's really good is going to have some problems. And but on the outside looking in, but you know, right now, that's kind of how I see it in the AFC.
You mentioned the Raiders' defense. You were talking about Doug Christie's Seahawks earlier, and their offensive line. Those are two weaknesses that two really, really good teams had. And it didn't feel like they really spent much time this offseason addressing them.
Yeah, you know, the Seahawks have had this to their dismay the past couple of years. It just put a lot into Tom Cable taking chicken feathers and making in a chicken salad, and it's hurt them. I mean, they've not been as effective running the football. The defense is good. Sheldon Richardson helps a bunch. I think that Seattle is right there with Atlanta for the best roster in the NFC. But to me, when they've been a Super Bowl caliber team, they've been able to run the football to blend well with their defense. They haven't done that recently, and that's the problem. I think Russell Wilson's outstanding. I think he's a clutch playmaker, but he's not a guy that's going to carry an offense where they can throw it, you know, 40 times a game and win. It's just not what they do, and they become, you know, less than what their capabilities are when they go that way. You know, I think that they have the ability to make more plays in the passing game. They've done a better job with their receivers, and I think that's a positive. But if they don't fix the offensive line, and that ultimately doesn't fix the running game, you know, that could hold them back. Because to me, I think if I were picking the NFC representative in the Super Bowl right now from a roster standpoint, I would probably – I don't know where I'd go between Seattle and Atlanta. That's how I see the rosters. And, you know, again, we'll subject to how they perform and play during the season. But they're that good. But the you are correct. Their offensive line is a problem that they hasn't been adequately corrected, at least in the offseason.
Bless you, Chris. Damon always want to bring up old stuff. And, you know, Chris, I've been to your site, Chris Landry, the Football Report, and I last year was my first year, and I bless you for all of that information. But can you tell our listeners some of the new stuff and the good stuff that you got going on at LandryFootball.com?
Well, I appreciate it. You know, it really started with my parent company, Landry Football Operations, which is a consulting firm that works with NFL teams and college programs on coaching and scouting consulting work. And 3 years ago, actually 3 years ago this month, I was approached about doing something that could really help the fans and provide some of the same type of information for the fans. So that's how LandryFootball.com was born. And what we do is we take you inside the film room. We break down the games. We tell you what happened, why it happened, and give a feel, an X's and O feel, and a scouting evaluation feel and a viewpoint to the college game, to the pro game, to the draft, to recruiting, nuts and bolts. We like to say if it involves players, teams, coaches, and schemes, we got it covered for you at LandryFootball.com and on the college and pro level. And, you know, it's all year long. We obviously, in the season, we focus a lot on the games. As we get to the offseason, it's the draft, it's free agency, it's breaking down film, grading players, how players are graded, why a player's a lot better than maybe you read in the media or maybe overrated, underrated, whatever. We kind of explain it to you, and we provide a lot of inside information from around teams and programs. And so that's what we do. It's a lot of free stuff. We've got a podcast, Landry Football podcast, every Tuesday and Thursday. A lot of free stuff. We've got a membership portion of it, and we've got a discount that can be you can be found right up on the website. And currently right now what we're doing is with a 50% discount for folks that it's normally $99 a year, so it's $49.99 a year that will get you the entire football season, all the off season. And in addition to that, we're trying to do what we can to help the flood relief victims in Texas. So we're taking out of that $49.99, we're taking $25 of that money, and we're buying supplies, needed supplies, cleaning supplies, diapers, you know, non-perishables, whatever the shelters are directing us that they need the most. And we're delivering it to our folks here in Baton Rouge called the Cajun Navy that are delivering it to those folks. So it's a way for people to get involved and, you know, help folks in need, but also give themselves a little, you know, present for the football season to help them enjoy the season a little more.
That's awesome. Good for you guys doing that too, Chris. I kind of want to bring all those elements together on your website then. If you've watched these guys in college, you watched through the draft, who are the rookies that you think we're going to be talking about this year in the NFL season?
Well, I think they're plentiful, but I think that, you know, you need to look at a number of guys. When I look at players that I think can help, you know, it could be a guy like a Pat Elflein who's going to start at center for the Vikings. He was a third-round pick. I think Garrett Bowles is going to start at left tackle for the Broncos and Ryan Ramczyk at left tackle for the Saints. Corey Davis and Mike Williams, a receiver for the Titans and the Chargers, are going to have an impact, I think, pretty early. Watch Cooper Kupp, a third-round pick for the Rams, have an early impact as well. Ryan Switzer, I think, can help in a slot role for the Cowboys. O.J. Howard and Evan Ingram, O.J. Howard with the Bucks and Evan Ingram with the Giants, are going to have an impact, I think. You know, quarterbacks, we'll see Deshaun Watson play. We'll see Mitchell Trubisky play at some point. Deshaun Kaiser is going to start. Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, maybe even Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara will have an impact at running back. And with the health of Spencer Ware, or lack thereof, Kareem Hunt's going to get a play, an opportunity to play. So those are some of the guys. Myles Garrett's injured. Love Solomon Thomas out there with the Chargers. Derek Barnett, defensive end with the Eagles. I know I've gone on way too much, but those are some guys that I think are going to have some impact. And there's a few others, but, you know, Jamal Adams is going to be a good player on a bad team with the Jets. And, you know, there are a lot of others, but I think those kind of just jump out at me as guys that I think are going to have an early impact.
Chris, we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the opening weekend.
Hey, you guys do the same. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Take care.
Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report here on Sports 1140. Again, you can catch him at LandryFootball.com there with all that information he just gave us.